Shai Davides, our MLB insider, Sportsnet. How you doing, Shai?
Macabre start.
Well, yeah, it's all right. You know. So you were the one that released the puff of smoke from the top of the Rogers, the building in the Rogers campus here yesterday when the Jays announced that they had hired Charlie Montoya. Habeas manageum. Isn't it? What do they say when they announce that they've got a pope? Habeas papum or something like that? Anyhow.
I didn't notice that one.
It was a long night last night. Charlie Montoya, you were the one who reported he was in town for to be interviewed. And I believe, and Shai, it was one of those things, I admit, I didn't have him in my mental list or in my written list or anything. As soon as I heard that name, I thought, yeah, I can see it. Like, I didn't think right away, okay, it's done. But as soon as I heard the name Charlie Montoya, I thought, yeah, I can kind of see that.
Yeah, totally. And the one thing that all the candidates, the five finalists that we know of, they all have sort of the similar-ish kind of resumes. But the one difference Montoya than the other guys is he's a little bit older. He's the only guy in the 50s. Three of the four other finalists are in their 40s. Rocco Baldelli's 37. And he brings a little bit more experience to the table. And, you know, the sense that I started getting probably towards the end of the season, I started understanding how much Ross Atkins legitimately valued the experience that John Gibbons brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to some degree, he was hoping to be able to replicate that with someone who might have maybe a foot, more of a foot in the newer school, the way things are done. And certainly Montoya with, you know, two decades in the Rays organization has that. But he also brings that experience element. And, you know, I think to a certain degree, the Jays were looking for organization in his hiring. And it was going to be, in my mind, the Rays or the Astros, most likely, all along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when push came to shove, they had had a bit of a choice between going the younger end with Rocco Baldelli or a little bit older with Charlie Montoya. And obviously, they ended up with Montoya and his experience.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I read the piece you wrote today on the hiring. And, you know, I kind of plead guilty because after you'd written that and what you just said, I remember Ross Atkins talking a lot about the importance of John Gibbons' experience, and I have to admit, and this is no disrespect to Ross or anybody, I kind of put it to the side because I thought he was being nice. I'm being honest. I mean, I thought he was being nice to the outgoing manager, and I didn't. It's not that I didn't take him at his word that experience was important, but I kind of thought a guy like David Bell, Rocco Baldelli, those were the guys that profiled in that way. But then, you know, you wrote a piece with Ross, I can't remember when exactly. It was just after the start of the postseason. And the word that really stuck with me was leadership. He was talking about finding somebody who could be a leader for the organization. And to me, that means somebody who has been in a position where they have had to have a lot of people working underneath them. It either means somebody who's been a major league manager or somebody with a long minor league record. And I think maybe I'm guilty of underestimating the importance of experience and leadership when Ross and his group sat down and listed what they needed in a manager.
Well, I mean, there are a number of different types of leadership, right? And the other guys, you know, there, some of them had some front office experience, and obviously you're leading in that realm. And some of them had, they all had some sort of coaching experience, if not managing at the minor league level. So they did bring that to the table. But I think when you have a guy like Montoya, he's managed at every level in baseball. And, you know, that you deal with a lot of people. You get to know a lot of different personality types by doing that. You can't replicate two decades of managing and all the headaches that come with it, and doing that within an organization that is doing a lot of different things and pushing the envelope and experimenting and implementing information in ways that other teams aren't. I think those elements made him particularly attractive to the Blue Jays and really gave him a bit of a different voice. You know, I mean, you look at some of his history as a player, you know, he's got some, relatively brief. He's got some connections to Canada. He's got some experience in Montreal. He played a triple-A ball in Ottawa. His only touch of the big leagues was with the Expos. That's an element that works. You know, this isn't a country that's completely foreign to him by any stretch. He's got the he's got the multicultural piece being from Puerto Rico, so that certainly works for him and the organization, considering that their best player is going to in all likelihood be Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And then he's got some experience playing with Vladimir Guerrero Sr. And helping him on his path to the big league. So I think that's a pretty intriguing package that really works for the Blue Jays in a number of different ways.
What do you think happens with the coaching staff now?
Good question. All along, I assume that if Pete Walker wants to be back, he's going to be back. And, you know, I don't think there's any reason for him, unless he gets some sort of very, very enticing offer from another club, which is possible. But I would expect him to be back because I think the Blue Jays very much want him back. I think Louis Rivera probably has a role in this club. Still the third base coach and working with infielders, and he's made a lot. Lourdes Gurriel has built a comfort level with him, and he's really done a nice job throughout his career of working with different infielders. So I certainly see an opportunity for him to return. And I think the rest is probably negotiable to a degree. You know, Damar Lohail will have a role in the organization if he wants it one way or the other. Is he on the staff or not? I think you have to give Montoya an opportunity to have a bench coach that he feels very comfortable with, especially as a first-time manager. You know, you want to give him somebody that he has a lot of he has a previous relationship with and that he can lean on. And I think everything else, you know, that's some of the back and forth that happens between a manager and the front office.
Mm-hmm. A hitting coach is going to be particularly important, I think, with this organization.
Yeah, and that's another really interesting one because, you know, Brooks Jacoby obviously has a good relationship and the Blue Jays have done well with him in the role. But are they going to look for someone who's doing some different things now, someone who's maybe more into the launch angle revolution, someone who's going to use data in different ways? You know, I think we're going to see this team transform the way that they've done a lot of things. And that hitting coach spot is certainly one area where, you know, the Blue Jays probably want to see some evolution just because the trends in the game are becoming so much different. I mean, guys are hitting the ball differently. They're trying to put the ball into play differently. And if the Blue Jays aren't going to adapt to that or keep pace with it, then they're definitely going to fall behind.
Shai, when you look at the way the World Series is going right now and the you know, the focus we're seeing, especially on Dave Roberts managing, I mean, we spent this year sort of marveling at the Tampa Bay Rays being forced into using the opener by injuries, and you know, lo and behold, it turned out to be such a success that it essentially became part of their program for this year. Other teams started, you know, fiddling around with it. I guess most famously in the playoffs, the Milwaukee Brewers. Would you? And I know this; it's hard to say the Blue Jays would or wouldn't necessarily be open to this, but I've never gotten the sense from Ross Atkins that they're really. That they like the idea of the opener that much. Do you think that hiring Charlie Montoyo means they've revisited that? And I'm not saying he's going to be using the opener on a daily basis or even, you know, the way the Rays use it, but do you think they might be open to that sort of an approach now?
I think right now the opener is still, to a certain degree, regarded as, you know, a last resort. You know, not necessarily something that you want to voluntarily sign up for over the course of 162 games. But I can see the Blue Jays wanting to at least experiment with it in stretches. You know, if you need to skip a guy and give a guy a rest, or if a guy needs to sit out a start or two because something's sore, you know, do you go that route instead of bringing someone up from AAA? I think ultimately, right now, the train of thought is probably more geared towards let's have a few guys handle the good chunk of our innings and then distribute the remaining innings over a, you know, 10 to 12 man bullpen that you're running up and down through AAA with options. But I do think that, look, if this continues to prove that it works and that, you know, it's shown that guys can stay healthy and sustain their stuff when dealing with that kind of erratic workload, then I think the Blue Jays would be more open to it now than they might have been beforehand.
We know now that the announcement will be made on Monday. The general manager's meetings are when? Are they 2 weeks from Monday?
November the start, 5th or 6th to 8th or 9th.
Okay, so boy, it's really, I mean, it is getting
there. It's coming up.
now that he's got his manager in place, and you think that, I would think that the staff, I don't know, maybe they would do some interviews at the general manager's meetings, or maybe they've already got the staff in place, but what do you think priority number one for Ross is now? Once this gets done, once the staff is in place, what's priority number one for him?
Well, I think that the calendar is going to dictate some of that, and you know, the first calls that they're going to have to make are options on Justin Smoke and Yan Hervis Solarte, and it's pretty obvious they're going to pick up Justin Smoke, and my guess right now is that they're probably going to decline Yan Hervis Solarte unless they manage to trade him. So that's the first order of business. And then they're going to have to get to work on setting their 40-man, and the Jays have a surplus. They're not going to be able to protect all the guys that they probably would want to protect. So I would expect to see the Blue Jays try to consolidate some of their talent, you know, maybe try to do some three for ones or four for twos, something along those lines, in order to just get something back for guys that they could potentially lose in the Rule 5 draft. And then once that gets going, it's full off-season mode. You know, get into trades, try to find ways to improve the team. I'd expect the Blue Jays to try and be fairly active on the trade front, try to transform some of their position player surplus into some pitching, because that's really the area where they're lacking in depth right now. And then I think they probably slow play the free agent market and wait to see if they can find some value in the latter part of the offseason.
Shai, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this.
Anytime, Jeff.